Good morning, everyone. Oh. Good morning, everyone. There, it works. And welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can come into the presence of our Lord this morning and offer praise and thanksgiving, for God has surely done great things for us. Special welcome to all those who join us on the live stream this morning. It is our pleasure to welcome you always to St. John's. And for any who are new to the congregation or visiting with us this morning, we're pleased to have you as well. I'm wearing a mask. For those of you who don't know, I've been wandering around all week with COVID. I haven't been wandering around all week with COVID, which is what they say you're supposed to do. Stay at home and behave yourself. So I did that. I have tested myself at the end of the week, and I am now negative, which is great, because I couldn't lose another day. For belt and suspenders, I'm still wearing the mask. I'll still have a voice by the end of the worship service this morning. Either that, or you will get to meet the teenage me, whose voice was squeaky. We'll see how that all works out. The announcements were on the screens as you were coming in this morning. Just a reminder to folks that we are approaching the year end, and so we're looking towards meeting our financial goals. So if you've fallen a little bit behind in your offerings, do remember to catch up if you can, and especially remember our Presbyterian sharing obligations. Presbyterian sharing is that part of our giving that supports our work with church partners around the world, sending staff there or allowing them to sponsor their own ministries, as well as here in Canada. It is a large and broad segment of our mission work that is supported through Presbyterians sharing, and only happens because you are generous. With regard to the end of the year, next week is going to be a very, very odd and short week here at the church office, because next week is actually this week. Yeah. No. No, I've got the Sunday the 29th is next weekend. There's only going to be a couple of days following worship, and as I say, it's going to be one of those days that's fraught with difficult holiday hours. Our bookkeeper has asked that if at all possible, if you can have your givings into the church by next Sunday morning, avail yourself to the plates, then that would be very helpful to us here in the church office. Two special services that we don't want you to forget. This evening at 7:30, we have the service, a community service of lessons and carols. That's the traditional service of nine lessons and carols. And we will be joined this evening by the choir of Knox St. Paul's Church. It will be a time of much music and much scripture reading. So please plan to be here with us and invite your friends to come along. And then on Christmas Eve, Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock, tonight is 7:30, Christmas Eve is 7 o'clock, we will be here for the usual Christmas Eve service here at St. John's with strings and trumpet and all and organ and music. So again, another wonderful service that you won't want to miss. So we come into worship this morning. Let us stand stand in the presence of our Lord, that we might stay together the call to worship. And while you're standing, I'm going to remind you that the postal strike is over, and the new daily breads arrived this week, and they are on the table outside the office downstairs for those who might like to pick up their January copy today. Our souls magnify the Lord.
Our spirits rejoice in God, our Savior.
The Mighty One has done great things for us.
Holy is God's name.
Let us worship God. Let us pray. No, you've got a line yet.
For God is our Maker and our Redeemer. From generation to generation, God gives mercy.
Now let us pray. Gracious God, stir up your power and come to set us free by the righteousness of your birth in our midst, by the light of your face shining upon us, and by becoming our brother, our friend, and our salvation. We pray these things in the name of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. And our opening hymn for this morning is 165 in your Book of Praise, O Little Town of Bethlehem, hymn 165 in the Book of Praise. Friends, in the world and in this season, there are many claims upon our lives. We take this time to remember that in our baptism, Christ has claimed us as his own. We acknowledge before God and one another that we have not followed Jesus Christ with all our heart and mind and strength. Trusting in God's grace, let us come now in prayer, saying the words as they appear before us. God of our salvation, we ask for your mercy. Though we have heard Mary's song, we still seek security in pride and power and possessions. Though we know your story, we resist the costs of following you. We pass by those considered lowly in this world. We turn away from hungry people who still wait to be filled. Forgive us, we pray. Help us to work for the justice you intend. Make us messengers of the peace you bring. As we wait for you, turn our apathy into acts of love and service. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. Amen. Friends, God is for us and not against us. For that very reason, God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Believe this good news. In Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. We prepare for the Advent candle lighting by singing hymn 124, People in Darkness Are Looking for Light. We will sing all the verses of hymn 124 as we have arrived at that point in the year.
As we prepare for the Christ coming, we remember that Christ modeled love by seeking justice for those on the margins.
We come with a desire to love everyone, even when it's hard.
We light the fourth candle of Advent, a symbol of God's love, which knows no boundaries.
This candle inspire us to act toward our neighbors, near and far, in loving and justice-seeking ways. Holy One, we love because you first loved us. By the power of your Spirit, commit us to love in action in service of our neighbors. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. O Mighty One, who scatters the proud and fills the hungry, by your Holy Spirit, let your word leap in our hearts and bring to our yearning the joy that comes with new beginnings and renewed lives. Amen.
The first reading is taken from the book of the prophet Micah, Chapter 5, verses 2 to 5. But you, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, you are the one of the little clans of Judah. From you shall come forth for me one who is to rule Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of the kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. And he shall be the one of peace. The second reading is a responsive reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. My soul magnifies the Lord.
And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior.
For he has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations shall call me blessed.
For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name.
Indeed, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation.
He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts.
He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly.
He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty.
He has come to the aid of his child Israel in remembrance of his mercy.
According to the promise he has made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever.
The third reading is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 5 to 10. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then he said, "See, I have come to do your will, O God. In the scroll of the book it is written of me." When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law." Then he said, "I have come to do your will." He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And it is by God's will that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Thanks be to God for his word unto us.
Let us turn in the book of praise to hymn 130, to a maid whose name was Mary. Hymn 130, or as the words appear before you on the screen.
Hymn 130.
And we continue now to read from God's word, as it is given in Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. Let us listen for God's word to his people. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made with our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." Amen. And may God bless to our hearts the reading of these portions of his own holy word. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In 1984, the Reverend Robert Schuller, you'll remember him from The Hour of Power on television for so many years. Robert Schuller in 84 released a book entitled "Tough Times Never Last, But Tough People Do." And over the years, that book title, of which Schuller came up with, has been borrowed and enhanced and reworked by numerous peoples and numerous groups with numerous different messages, I would hasten to add. Not all, I would suggest, in keeping with perhaps what Schuller had in mind. But I was reminded of that little saying this week as I was reacquainting myself with the writings of the prophet Micah. Like all of our readings throughout the season of Advent, Micah writes from the perspective of the exile, that great identity-shaking period of displacement during which the children of God lived in occupation by the great powers of their day. Now, it makes sense that we focus on these prophetic writings from the time of the exile during Advent, because it's during that experience that so many of the texts that we associate with the coming of the Messiah, the texts get reinterpreted again by Matthew and Luke in the gospel readings to apply to Jesus. It's during that period that they were first written and first heard by the people of God. Micah has a particular writing style. He begins by describing the present trouble that the people are facing, the life of people living under siege in Jerusalem with no leaders to guide them. And then he speaks of the deliverance of God. And that's part of what we have in today's reading. We have one of these moments of deliverance being described by the prophet, in which the prophet speaks of the coming one who will rule over Israel and care for the people of God. And in this text, there are familiar references, surprises, as to the identity of the anointed one. The prophet Micah points toward the city of Bethlehem, the town, really, not much of a city back then, not much of a city now, I guess. He points toward the town of Bethlehem, this little-known backwater place removed from the powers and spheres of influence. But it was the nexus, as the nexus, of God's coming deliverance. But for the early readers of Micah, it would have been impossible for them to have heard those words and not have thought of something else. Bible study friends, echoes of Scripture in Scripture, right? Because it's from Bethlehem that Nathan the prophet was led by God to find a king for Israel who would replace King Saul way back when. That king that replaced Saul, that one who was found away from the power structures and all the places where one would think an earthly king would be found, that king was David. David, the shepherd, the youngest son of Jesse's many sons, the one for whom everyone had to wait, if you remember the story of the call of Nathan trying to determine which of Jesse's sons was going to be the king, the one that everybody had to wait for because, well, he was the youngest one, and he was way out in the fields, watching over his father's sheep. And it's in those aspects of David's life, his less than nature, that the far from power place, that we describe this God, that we find this God appointed ruler. Here and elsewhere in the prophets, the language of the shepherds, good shepherds and bad shepherds, is used to refer to the just and the unjust kings of Israel who would follow in David's path. And these references fill this tiny little passage that Doug read for us from Micah, those, what, 3.5 verses. 3.5 verses. Those references where Micah says, "And he, the one who is to come, shall stand and feed his flock." Sound like a shepherd, doesn't it? "In the strength of the Lord and in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace." That is the one for whom the people were waiting, for whom the prophets foretold and the citizens of Jerusalem and Judea longed for. This person who would bring in justice and care for God's people. And we hear those very same themes repeated in Mary's song, the Magnificat, this morning. Mary's great song of praise at the news that she will bear a child. And once more, what is striking about this story is the surprising nature of God's deliverance. And the fact that both Mary and Elizabeth, who we hear in the story, in the scripture reading from the gospel this morning, are with child is both the reinforcement of God acting here, but also a foil to what is happening as we compare the story of these two women. In the past, right, in these prophetic or prophetic-like texts always point to the past. In the past, you will recall that God has intervened in to provide children to barren couples, significant stories in the lives of the people of faith. Abraham and Sarah, Manoah and his wife, Hannah and Elkanah, and now Elizabeth and Zechariah, all were blessed with a child when they had lost all hope that they would have an heir. In Elizabeth's pregnancy, we see that the power of God is being manifested once more to intervene in the lives of people, just like it had been for Abraham and Sarah, for Hannah and Elkanah. But in Elizabeth's pregnancy, it's the old pattern that we see. We see indeed that God has done great things for these, but it is as it has always been in the case of Elizabeth. But when Gabriel comes to Mary, a virgin, and tells her that she will bear a child, God has taken the possibility of all of these past pregnancies and used it in a new way. Mary, one who had yet to even begin to hope of a child, is chosen by God to bear hope into the world. And in that moment, there is no more one of those There is one more of those great upheavals that we expect when God's finger touches our mortal world. Indeed, their very world order is threatened. The powerful, Mary says, have been knocked off their thrones. The silliness of the proud has been revealed, and they've run away to hide. And in their place, the lowly have been lifted up. The hungry have been fed, and the powerless receive mercy. Imagine. Maybe it's not hard to imagine at least the first half of that little paradigm shift this particular week. If you've been watching the news at all, whether it be from Ottawa or from south of the border, regardless of which news, we've seen the ineffectiveness and the ineffectualness of the powerful to accomplish things, and their seeming disregard for the people that they are to serve in the process. Perhaps Mary's song is like that. It continues to echo even today. But what should amaze us most is Mary is absolute. Would we be so absolute if you woke up in the middle of the night to an angel in your room? That alone might prove to be problematic, wouldn't it? But Mary is absolute. The angel comes and stands in her room and tells her the unbelievable, the unimaginable, the thing she knows has not yet happened. That Mary will conceive and bear a child. And not just any child, but the very child of God. In the song of Mary and in her words, all of time collapses into one moment. That is how Mary responds. It is the only response. The angel appears and reveals to Mary what is about to happen, and Mary's response is to sing as if it has already happened. It's not something that's going to be in the future. It's not a 9-month proposition. It is the past. Did you notice that? He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has fed the hungry with good things and sent the rich empty away. He has come to aid the children, Israel. It's happened. It's not out there. It's not even right here. It's back there somewhere. The God of all of history has stepped into this moment that we read in Scripture this morning as Gabriel shares with Mary the things. I'm stuck now. The things that are about to happen and the things that have happened already. Imagine. The God of all history. Right? And we believe in a God who is a God of all history, don't we? We confess it from time to time. 3 weeks ago, we stood at the table. We said the creed. How do we introduce the creed? Every single time we say the creed, we stand and we join our voices with the Church of Jesus Christ in all time and space. When we come to the table and we read that, and we say the creed together, it's not just us. It's not just 28 Second Street East that stands and reads and confesses. But it is the church universal, the church everywhere, all the faithful saying it in our breath. The God of all time comes to Mary with this past, present promise. I never did do very well with parsing my verbs in grade 10 grammar. Had a good teacher. Jimmy Ronan was passionate about it, but never quite got all those, you know, in the past perfect tense, you know, all those. At a certain point, I can do past, and I can do present, and I can do future, and I can kind of do, you know, the things that start in the past and come into the future, but some of them just never quite got. But that's what we're talking about here. The promise that begins in the future, but echoes from the past. The problem with that expression that we started with, tough times never last, but tough people do. There is a problem in it. Did you notice it? It never leaves room for God, or at least not at its face value. In there somewhere, there is the implication that if we are just tough enough, if we are just strong enough, we will solve the problems ourselves. But that is not what Mary sings. Mary sings, "Blessed am I, that the one who has already solved the problem would be willing to work through me." Our faithfulness rests in our ability to place our whole trust in God, as Mary does, knowing that the God who has seen the goodness of this world in creation way back when is each and every day working to restore that goodness and to reestablish the fairness and the just sharing of the world's resources that were in the beginning. He has already given us what we need. He has already taught us that lions can indeed lie down with lambs, and that little children will reveal to us the wonder and the faithfulness of living in a world with a God like that. To reestablish the fair and just sharing of the world resources so that the powerful, so that power need not be used to subjugate others, so that the earth's bounty might be shared with all. All of that is in Mary's song this morning. All of that is in the purposes of God that we read from the Old Testament that carry forward into the New. All of it is in the longing for the people for a Messiah who would come and free them from their oppression. All of it is in our hearts. We are for our dreams for the future. All of it, and it comes today. I got the sermon title wrong again this week. God's justice comes. I parsed the verb wrong. Because like we do so often in worship, it's not that God's justice comes, past, present or future, but that God's justice has come. And we have seen it. We have seen it in the life of Christ lived out into our world. And it is because of that that we then are invited to share in the building of a kingdom and to work for justice even today. And for all of those things, we give thanks to God. Amen. Once more, we turn to the Presbyterian Church in Canada's Living Faith document to affirm our faith this morning. We turn to chapter 3.2. If you ever want to see the book, we do have some around the building, if you just in case you figure I may be making these things up from time to time. It's actually around. It's green. Have you heard, if you haven't, some may remember it. The Living Faith document, 3.2, the chapter is entitled Jesus Christ, Truly God. Let us say together responsively. God became man and dwelt among us in silence. We ponder, in awe we confess this amazing truth. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, the eternal Son of God humbled himself to be one with us. To Israel and to the world came God in Christ.
To call Jesus Christ the Son of God is to say that he is God of God, light of light, begotten, not made. To see Jesus is to see God incarnate. To know the Son is to know the Father.
God's nature is expressed in Jesus, the very Word of God. Through him were all things made. His life is the light of the world.
Jesus Christ is Lord. He is one with the Father and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Friends, God does not desire us to bring burnt offerings or sin offerings. But instead, he asks that we do God's will. And so we bring to God now the offerings of our lives and our labors with the prayer that God will use us and all that we have to bring about his kingdom in the world. Let us now present our tithes and offerings to the Lord.
Dream on.
with you and with your good news. We thank you for all that draws us close together, astounding us with lives transformed by gratitude. Accept our gifts as signs of our gratitude for what you give us every day, and as honor to your presence in our world. For the sake of those who stand in need, and Jesus Christ himself, who saves us. Amen. Let us continue in prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, you reveal yourself in so many ways. Especially, you have revealed yourself in your Son, Jesus Christ. We today gather up the prayers of this community of faith for the church, the world, and all who are in need, confident that you know our deepest thoughts and will refresh our spirits. We pray in the name of the one who transforms principalities and powers and renews the heavens and the earth, Christ, our Savior. We pray this day for our brothers and sisters in Christ who gather as we do on this day all over the world, in house churches and storefronts, on reservations, in townships and base communities, among immigrants, in hospital chapels and prisons, and with persons who are dying. Wherever your church is found on frontiers of mission and service, empower its witness to strengthen and stretch the vision of your people. We pray for the earth and all of creation, for the healing and tending of all that you have given to us, for water and air, soil and stars, for creatures that roam the seas and those that fly thousands of miles in migration, for mammals and reptiles, insects and microbes in swamps and forests and in our own homes. Show us their beauty and our need for them. For an end to violence, oppression, and injustice, we pray for all who sing the song of Mary, a song of joy for deliverance, for all people who long to hear your promise of good news, for all peacemakers and governments that hold at the heart of their work the needs of people who are otherwise invisible, for all people left homeless and destitute by the greed of others. Lead your people, O God, from darkness to light. For Mary and Joseph in every land, we pray for all people who face the enormous vocation of raising children, for biological parents and adopting parents, for grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, and friends, for children who long for a parent or a guardian's love and care, for children who will be born today, and especially for those born into hunger and insecurity. Let the light of your desire for our well-being shine through all children. For those we hold dear, and for those who have asked for our prayers this day, we pray for everyone who is in any need today, for the lonely, for all people who are anxious in this time of year, for our elders in nursing homes, for people who cannot find work, and for those whose work is not life-giving for them. Hear us now as we name in the silence of our hearts all those who are dear to us and who are in need. And especially, Lord God, on this day, we remember the people of Vanuatu in the southern Pacific, who this week have lost so much through earthquakes. May your spirit be with them And despite their loss, may they know that the Christ whom we celebrate is coming. We pray for our own lives. We pray that Mary's song of joy and Joseph's loyalty will be magnified in us. Fill us with the breath of Advent. Stir us to extend ourselves beyond what we thought possible. Show us that, like Mary, we need not fear. We remember with thanksgiving the faithful who have gone before us. And we commit, as your light shines on us through them, guide us to so enlighten others with the hope of the gospel. Hear us, O God, for your mercy is great. And with the whole church, we cry, let it be, trusting in your word. Hear us now as we continue to pray in the manner that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise is number 115 in the Book of Praise. Hail to the Lord's anointed. The words to the hymn will appear on the screen. friends, let us now go in peace, trusting in the promises of God. And the God of justice be your path. The Lord of mercy be your guide. And the Spirit of love be your light, this day and forevermore. Amen.